Blog Talk Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one.
The Rock Father is on now.
If I tell my son to go in and tell my other son to shut up and go to sleep, he's not going speaking for me. He's going as me. And if he doesn't do what my son tells him to do, he's got to deal with me. Why? My son was me at the time. He told the boy to go to sleep. I shut up. Y'all shout. When I tell the devil to come out, he comes out because God is telling him to come out. Somebody shout. Some of you, you want to speak for God. God don't need your lips. God don't need your mouth. The word of God said in John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He, here comes faith now. He will not speak of himself. Some of you don't understand. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you become the Holy Ghost. Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Well, they didn't lie to the Holy Ghost. They lied to Peter. But since Peter was filled with the Spirit, when they lied to the Holy Ghost. Shout and answer. Shout hallelujah. Stand on your feet, give God glory. Sit down. I'm losing my mind again. Hey! Woo! I love that. Are you getting this? Woo! Now I'm to him. Him. Everybody say him. He's able. He's able, but he's only able according to the power that works in you. But if you notice, Elijah, when he spoke about the rain, he didn't say, at God's word. He said, at my word. Some of you, you want to speak to the mountain. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost, whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. The Holy Ghost is the spirit or the sperm of Christ himself. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, faith come by hearing by the word of God. The Holy Ghost only responds to the hearing of the word of God. And just as you speak in tongues, you are doing the speaking. Some of you, God said, I don't have to say God said, thus said the Lord, I said it. Somebody shout. That's not me taking glory. That's God getting the glory out of a vessel that's sold out to him. Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. What is this talking about in Ephesians 3 and 20? According to the power that works in you. It's talking about according to the power of death or life. Now notice Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And whosoever loveth it will eat the fruit thereof. Love what? The fruit of death or life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I have located it. It's in your brain. Somebody shout hallelujah. With your dirty self. Sin is the wisdom to know how to do good and evil at the same time. And then act saved. Some of y'all know how to do good and evil, and you act saved. You shall say. You give like you say. I'm just loving you. Receive it. And if you notice in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the two gifts that it starts with, the first gift mentioned is the word of wisdom. Everybody say word. The second supernatural manifestation is the word of knowledge. Not wisdom, not knowledge, but the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. The word. Everybody say word. God can only do whatever you ask or think. God, I want you to move. Some of y'all not be praying. You haven't prayed yet. You know, y'all got the spiritual folk in the church. They know God because they had a dream. But God will deal with a fool. It don't mean you spiritual. That means you have a spirit, and sometimes the wind blows where it listed. Y'all shout. Did you know that in 2 Timothy 2:16, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness? Witchcraft in the mouth. God or the devil cannot operate without asking and thinking on this planet. What's the first letter in Acts saying? What's the first letter in Seek saying? What's the first letter in Knock? Pronounce it. Shout.
Amazing. And if it could ever be total world peace, I believe that would be a great thing. Yeah. If they do,
if they do,
if they dare,
if they don't,
I don't care.
I won't take it personal. No, no, I'm not responsible.
I can only speak for me. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Roderick, you're on in 5.
Girl, I'm coming.
5, 4, 3.
Put my shoes on.
2, 1. Shelter.
God told me something. I said, God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was 17 years old. He said, I'm going to use you to restore marriages. Several divorces later, I asked God, are you serious? Tell you something about a man, ladies. Don't no man want to hear you speak in tongues when you done pissed him off?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, I know you've been hurt. I know you've been through bad relationships. But let me tell you something, ladies. You are the key to the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. It's when the woman wakes up and say, yeah, I've been through this, I've been through that, but some of my cookies were in the jar too.
Come on.
Yeah. I heard a woman say one time, you just don't understand women. We have to bear the child. We have to carry the baby for 9 months. We have to do this and that and breastfeed. I said, well, what do you want? A trophy? I'm not going to carry that baby. The devil is a liar.
Everyone trying to be different like everybody else, calling new what they do, different name on the same shelf, believing everything we see on the TV, living a dream but not facing reality.
Unity is about one love with all people.
That's what I'm talking about. That's right. Yo, it's one love.
The dog mentality versus the wolf mentality. You know, the dog and the wolf are the same, but with one exception. The dog is a domesticated carnivore, while the wolf is a wild dog. A wolf is a dog that have not been tamed or domesticated. We are untamed like the wolf. When we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will find ourselves animalistic. Interesting enough, I would like to share with you the story of a man named Caleb. In order for me to convey to you the mentality of a dog and a wolf, I couldn't help but talk about this unique man called Caleb and give history of this man and his kin and nature. Caleb, which means dog or bold, also it means a famous bearer. The carnal mind is a meat-eating animal. The carnal mind doesn't care about anything else but what it cares about. Do we want a dog mentality? When you walk with God, you'll find yourself as loyal as a dog. The mentality of a dog versus a wolf.
Somebody's coming up the stairs.
Oh, he must be really popular.
Hello, what brings you here? They probably want to see the Rockfather.
Tell me about, I hear about Romans 1, you know, and I'm like, what's up, you know? You telling me I can come to church and get some help, but then when I come to church, they make me feel like gutter trash. What's up? So, you know, just help me out with this. Spend me some lyrics, you know. Let me know what's real, real. I mean, you know, if I'm going to hell because, you know, I dabble over there, you know, I understand men and men and women and women. It's a different alternative lifestyle. It's not just about men and men and women and women. It's a bunch of stuff, you know. What about, you know, when they were back in the day when they had all these wives and stuff? Some of that's still going on today. These were kings in the scripture. Tell me about that. Was Jesus upset with that? You know, was God upset with that? But nowadays, it's like these people in the church want to tell me I'm going to hell because I do something. When I read the book, they don't tell me that, you know, Jesus hate me. They hate the singing. He know me. I talk to him every day, you know. If I talk to him every day and, you know, he don't give me no lip, he don't be trying to make me feel like I'm low. But what he does is he tell me, you know, I'm his own. Sure enough, I got to do some things, and I know I got to get some stuff right. I'm out here trying to live the grind, do the thing every day, talking to him and asking him for help. Because if I can't help myself, definitely I got to go to him. The words say acknowledge him in all my ways. And that's what I do. I say, yo, Jesus, this me, you know, your God. You know, some of you call me your girl. But tell me, what should I do? I need your help, man. If you can help me, God. You died on the tree. You died on that cross for me. You knew back then that day that, you know, I was going to do some things. You know, I was going to, you know, not be perfect. But then when I say, look, Lord, I need you. I ask you, I ain't perfect. I come to you. I get on my knees and stuff. And I say, look, Lord, I need some help. I'm liking this woman. I was born with breasts. I need your help. My dude over here, he liking God. He need his help. What do we do? Right, Father, I'm telling you, I'm coming to you because I know you're going to spit it real to me. You're going to keep it 100. If I ain't getting it 100, I'm going to tell you. If I ain't getting it 100, I ain't even trying to go to this church. I could talk to a man on the street every day who won't tell me the truth. If I can't go to the church and get the truth, I don't even want to go. I'm telling you, I'm straight up. If I can't get the real, I don't want to deal with it. And look, I talk to God before I talk to anybody else about this thing, you know? I'm going to tell him, look, dude, I ain't even with this. And, you know, he accept me talking to him like that, you know? I could tell him what's real about my heart, you know? I could sit down and write him a letter. I could just tell him the truth about me. You know, I tell him, I ain't with this. I ain't liking all this dress stuff. I ain't liking all this girly stuff. And am I wrong because I ain't girly? Am I wrong because I'm not pretty in pink? Or, you know, am I wrong because, you know, I'm not like these mugs? You know, these folk in church, they be hypocriting and stuff, and then they want to dog me and make me feel like I'm low. I don't even want to go there, man. You know, that's why I come to you, Rod Father. Because you know what? You like, you know the streets. You know how it is out here. You know when I go out there and slang and I get my stuff. I got to pack my paper. What I do with that? You don't look at me like I'm low, man. You make me feel I'm all right. And then you're going to tell me the truth. And then you're going to let me do what I got to do with that truth. You ain't going to tell me where I'm going to hell. That's why I appreciate it. Why don't you give me some information on that, man, you know? Get at me, man. Tell me about that because I really need to know. You know, even the young people, you know, they want to act like they thuggy thug over here. And then when they get at the church, they a whole different people. Invite me to church and then they different when I get there. tell me about this homosexual lesbianism thing. Because you know what? I think there's alternative lifestyles up in that church. Most of them folks be judging me for stuff I think they deal with in their own issues, you know? Tell me about that.
Yes, I understand how you feel. You know, many people have lifestyles. Some have lifestyles of gossip and slander in the church. Many have a lifestyle of two-faced. Many have a lifestyle of holier than thou. Everybody's wrong but them. Yes, Romans 1 addressed homosexuality. But sin is sin. Don't you ever let anyone make you feel that you are less than them because you have an open sin. Or should I say, out of the closet. How many Christians are trapped in the closet with their own personal issues and sins? Sin is simply coming short of the glory of God. Listen, you are no different than the preacher in the pulpit. You are no different than the choir singer. You are no different than musicians, the bishops, the pastors. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
He must be really popular.
Hello, what brings you here? They probably want to see the Rodfather.
Be honest. feel good right now, but I had to realize it's necessary. You're trying to grow me up.
You're making me stronger now.
You're taking away everything that's not like you, Jesus.
You're making me stronger now.
It's that breaking process, y'all. Come on.
You're making me stronger now.
Your delay is not a denial. I realize.
You're making me stronger now.
You love me too much to give me too much, Jesus. Your plan is perfect even when I'm not. I realize. I can't rely on my own strength this time, y'all. Come on. I cried while I worshiped. In times when it was rent money. Forgiving my enemies. When daddy walked out. When mama gave me up. Everybody that gave up on me. I need to write your thank you letter. Cause you made me. Woo! Jesus, I thank you. I can see clearly now. I didn't understand it at first. I even got mad at you. Cause you were taking too long. But I'm sorry, Daddy. Your ways are not my ways.
Well, praise the Lord. You know God is worthy of all praises. God is able to make you stronger now. Do I have a caller on air?
Yes, this is Bishop Kenneth Reed.
God bless you, my dear brother. How are you and your lovely wife and your children?
We're doing okay. We're blessed.
It is such a privilege. It is such a privilege to have you on with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a man of God, and this is also my cousin, and this bishop and his lovely wife, we just go way back, and God is so good to this man of God and his lovely wife. We recently opened up a ministry. I'm so glad to have you. Go ahead and speak what God has put on your heart, Bishop.
Well, the Lord put on my heart that this is a season, trying season, you know, and we just got to keep the faith. Got to keep the faith, faith, you know, faith, and definitely love our neighbors, you know, and pray for those who definitely misuse us, you know. Many oftentimes we go through things in the ministry or just, you know, just being Christians, going through out this generation, this world, and that people have the tendency to want to, you know, just misuse, slander names and gossip and stuff like that. But we got to just keep the faith, and not only they keep the faith, but just keep on pressing on and do what Jesus did. He just kept going.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for those words, and I'm sure you have more. You know, tonight I'm going to be playing a segment of a message that the Lord put on my heart concerning, and I called it the two-faced monster. And one of Satan's, you know, the only weapon that Satan has against the child of God, and you that are listening all over the nation and all over the world to me and my cousin, Bishop Kenneth Reed, and I want you to know that the only weapon that Satan has against the believer is slander and accusation. This is a spirit that I'm sure if you work in the workplace, you see it there. We definitely see it on the news during the people getting ready for the presidential campaign. And you see it in families. The scripture says mothers against daughters and fathers against sons and vice versa. And you even see it in the church. I don't say that happily. I say that with great sorrow. But nevertheless, God has given us a weapon against slander. And you know what it is? we have the authority through Jesus to condemn, not the person. Now, I need y'all to hear this, and I want Bishop to elaborate on this. We don't condemn people, but we can condemn negative words, words that slander and kill. And I'm a strong believer in this, and you know me, man of God. I don't spare anyone because I'm very transparent, and I do not allow anyone in our presence, me and my Queen Katrina, to run down any person, not only a man or woman of God, but a child. Any person. Bishop, talk about that, because that's a strong spirit in our land.
Well, when people slander, we, like you said, we have the authority to just, you know, to stop it, to seal it up, to seal it up. Many oftentimes that it causes people to, when they slander, they lie against a person or lie against a woman or a child of God. It causes a problem. Because it said, ye without sin cast the first stone.
Hmm.
And the main thing is we shouldn't slander, because if we are a child of God, we no longer need to do all these things. Yeah, it comes up. But at the same time, I look at it as just take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the main thing. You know, God will reveal these things. You know, but I also believe that if there is a situation, we just need to just continue to take it to the Lord in prayer, take it to God, because He will send those people to their people, this certain person, and talk to them with love. But like I said,
condemn.
I try to stay away from it. I try to stay away from the negative. I don't speak on it. I don't, you know. I don't even allow it around my presence, in my presence, and stuff. So that's why I did it today. You know.
Well, we praise God for you and your household and what God is doing. Tell us a bit about your ministry and what God is doing in the city where you are.
Well, I'm in Union, Missouri. It's a little small area, a little nice area in Missouri. I'm actually, like I said, the bishop out here. We have a location. The Lord has blessed us with the building.
Yes.
And we're just grateful. It's growing. You know, it's definitely growing. Mm-hmm. And we're just looking to just grow, you know, definitely grow. It is a predominantly city. I don't know how many people live here in this city. It's just a small community, but it's a lot of not a lot of African Americans here. But it's a blessing because it started to come. People started to come and fellowship with us from all over, and they feel the Spirit. You know, be led by the Spirit to come. We appreciate it. We have a food pantry. We started an organization with the food pantry. You know, we're just helping the people. Helping the people and making sure that they're being saved and delivered. That's all it's about, is getting people set free from bondage and being delivered, you know. That's all my concern is to preach the gospel all over the nations.
Well, you know what? I bless God for you, and I thank God that he will use you to reach all nations of people, all ethnic groups. And that the scripture says, go ye into all the world. And I believe that when he said all the world, he's not just talking about traveling overseas. And that's a great part of it, missionary work. But all the world can be right in your city. The people of all races and kindred and tongues. I feel the presence of God with you, and I pray and I decree that you be, your household be physically wealthy, spiritually wealthy, and financially wealthy. And Katrina and I are standing with you. Although we're cousins, we still are brothers and sisters in Christ. And you all, and I thank God for my goddaughter. And how is she doing?
She's doing pretty good.
I cannot. I cannot wait to see y'all face to face. It's going to happen sooner than we think this year.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Actually, yes, it is. Actually, because we the Lord is blessing. We're going to have a revival out in April. In April, we're going to have a revival, 4-day, maybe a week revival. And
wow.
The Lord's been putting it in my spirit to bless you and see if y'all would come, you know, if you take some
you
time.
Know, we accept the invitation.
Yes, yes, because it's a strong breakthrough need to get broken down. There's too many people that I've seen, you know, within the church, different churches, you know, that the Lord is just really dealing with, and people have just been, you know, some churches' doors has been shut in these people's faces, you know, and God is sending them my way, our way, bless the Lord, you know. So I just thank God for what God is doing. So it just need a refreshing revival to uplift the spirit and just let people know that God still loves them. And that it can be set free.
We totally agree with you, man of God, and we look forward to being in Missouri in April and coming in the power of His Spirit. And we thank God for the anointing because, you know, we can't do it, but the anointing destroys the yoke. It don't just break it. It destroys the yoke, as you know. How's your lovely queen doing?
She's doing wonderful. She's doing wonderful. Working hard, but she's doing wonderful. I truly appreciate her. You know, I've been preaching often. Just keep going. Just been preaching the word. And this Sunday she's going to bring the word this Sunday. So I just thank God for. I just thank God for just the obedience, being obedient. We know obedience is better than sacrifice. So I thank God for that.
Well, praise God. I look forward to hearing about what God is going to do through the woman of God. And we just thank God for you. And it is a surprise. I thank God for you calling in tonight. Anything else on your heart? As I said, in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about the two-faced monster. Get your friends, get your family together, and you can listen by phone by calling 818-431-8553 on this Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen. The two-faced monster is coming up, and if you're having issues with your family, church, job, you listen to this word and it will illuminate your spirit and give you the strength to deal with the spirit of slander. It is the only weapon that Satan has. He used it against Job. He used it against all the great men and women of God. He has slander, and that's his slingshot. But there's an authority that God has given us. Our weapon is in our mouth. And we can use that weapon, not the dog folk, but to condemn their words, that their words have no effect on you and your children to come. Anything else on your heart, man of God?
No, that's it. I'm ready just to listen. I'll be calling more often.
And you know you're welcome. Thank God for you and your family and your ministry. God bless you. We'll be talking soon.
Okay, God bless you.
Do me a favor. Call some people. Tell them they got to hear this word, man of God.
Okay, I'm going to do that now.
God bless.
God bless you.
Such a blessing to hear from Bishop Reed. It's such a blessing. God is so good. And I know that you are ready to hear this word of God. I'm going to play another song here, and then we're going to play the two-faced monster. Oh, that's a monster. Right before that, I want to play a commercial that we put together just to cause you to laugh and enjoy. This is The Religious Wife. My God, get ready for this. And then we're going to hear a song, and then we're going to go into a word, a message that God put in my spirit against the spirit of assassination, slander, and gossip. You know, some folk have to have a cup of gossip like people have to have a cup of coffee in the morning. And some folks just love to talk and dog out folks. They have nothing else to do. Such boring lives. But we want to believe God to bring them into fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
I have a question I want to ask you. I'm married. I've been married for some time. And I'm saved. I'm a Christian, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I speak in tongues and the Spirit of God gives me utterance. And I love the Lord. He good. He real good to me.
My God.
And my husband, see, I like Christian music. That's the only thing I listen to. I listen to Jesus Saves. I like Kirk Franklin. I like Yolanda Adams, Mary Mary. I even like Rance Allen. I love me some Rance Allen. Hallelujah. Talk about faith in Jesus. That man sure enough can sing. My husband, see, when we be intimate together, he wants to listen to R&B. See, I want to listen to Christian music because I think the Lord is watching me in everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And see, he's not pleased with me listening to that R&B music while we're together intimately. The Lord is there watching everything that we do. And I just want to be saved. I want to be right. I want to be whole. I want the Lord to search me so he can see everything.
I'm listening.
And I want him to see me doing right. And that R&B, that's of the devil. It's wrong. It's sending folk to hell. I don't support it. And all of them people going to hell.
Oh.
If they don't get it right, what do you think, Rod Father?
Your problem is church.
My problem is what? Church.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to lay my religion down right now. See, you don't know me. I used to cut people in the world. I don't have to stand here and take this. I'm a woman of God, and you said you was the Rod Father. You said that you was a man of God, and I believe you're going to give me the truth, and you're going to see it lie to me. Oh, no. I can't take this. I don't have to listen to this. This is not God.
My problem is the truth.
She's saying, church brought me through. Church saved me. Sanctify me, fill me with holes. But I will cut you. I will cut you right now. You don't know.
Love Hope Radio.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
We
paid the price. There's only one. If you know there's only one, make some noise.
Elisha William Ormsby. My dad will be with you shortly. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you shall have good success. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Roderick Owensby. I'm going to be talking to you about the weapon of the tongue. You know, gossip, backbiting, and slander is the character of Satan. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The tongue is more powerful than any atomic bomb. You know, half of the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't back it up. And the other half have nothing to say and keep on saying it. Most people are repeating things that they have heard from something or somebody that they have respect for, whether that person is negative or positive. It's normal to talk. You know, the tongue is dangerous. We need to examine the importance of keeping such a dangerous weapon under control. You'd be surprised how many families are torn up by the tongue. Wars and rumors of wars because of what somebody said. We have to keep this mouth, this tongue, under control. There are times I have to repent because there's times that I've spoken in anger and there's times that I've spoken out of season. The Lord has given us the tongue of the learned, that we may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And he causes us to awake spiritually so that we can understand the seasons of God. If you don't know the seasons of God, you can speak out of turn. 2012 is the year where there's going to be a great move of God concerning promotions. You're going to hear about a lot of people that's being promoted by God. Then you're going to hear people that God has fired. There is a supernatural presence of God that is being released in the earth. God is releasing those that will speak what God has said. There's a restoration of the fivefold ministry. But I want you to know there's good news. God is releasing the leaders after his own heart. The spirit of Elijah is in the land that will restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children. You know, David said in Psalms 39:1, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. The scripture clearly condemns and warns us and is full of examples of the dangers of uncontrolled tongue. Moses sinned with his mouth, and it kept him from the land of promise, his earthly inheritance. Our tongue can keep us from our earthly inheritance, earthly blessings, earthly wealth, inventions, prosperity, long life, no premature death. It is a promise of God. Jumping to conclusion. You know, most people don't have the patience to try to find out the facts, but they will jump to conclusions. There's a spirit in America and in the world. To murder character is truly a crime as to murder the body. To slander a brother, it's like stabbing someone with a dagger in the back, like an assassin. Character assassination is once easier and surer than physical assault, and it involves far less risk for the assassin. That little soft thing that's in our mouths that we taste our favorite foods with, we can taste the seasoning, the flavor, the juices of a steak, is the most dangerous organ in the body. Character assassination is one thing that Satan uses often. He did it to Jesus. He did it to everyone that is of positive influence. The spirit of gossip, this personality, this is what gossip says. This is what I believe gossip will say.
Hello, my name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I mean without service. I break hearts and I ruin lives. I am cursed. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. My victims are separate. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights. On suspicion and generate greed. I make innocent people cry for their pillows. Even my name is I am called gossip. Telephone gossip. And don't forget, church gossip. I make headlines.
Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up. We must have an honest heart to examine our lips, speak, and to see that we are not guilty of destroying or encouraging the sin of gossip. When you look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, the scriptures speak on the subject of the tongue. One who speaks as a slanderer with malice about another. You go to Psalm 15, 1 through 3, a secret slanderer or hidden gossip of a sly tongue. You go to Proverbs 25 and 23. This is one of the things that would keep most people out of the presence of God. A whisperer. This is like witchcraft, defamation, evil report, to spread a rumor, to slander. Proverbs 10 and 18. Backbite. Psalms 101 and 5. A talebearer, to speak into one's ear in an evil sense. 2 Corinthians 12 and 20, and also again, Romans 1:29 through 30, busybody, meddling about others' business and matters. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. One might ask, when does my speech condemn me? We have to consider what gossip is in the sight of God. We have to look at the personality of gossip. Will I help or hurt a person? These are the things that we should look at. Will I hinder their positive influence by repeating an information received? Would it be better left untold? Even if it's true, will anyone be edified if I repeat this information? Proverbs 11 and 13. What is my motive for telling it or repeating what you've heard? Gossip, slander is secondhand information, and there is no guarantee that it's true. Am I really seeking to build or destroy, or to hurt or heal? Will I cause unnecessary suspicion about this person by repeating the information? If so, I become guilty, guilty, guilty. You can never build yourself up by tearing others down. Is the information true? Is there any basis for it? Think about those things before you spread something. Will anyone be made better by telling it? This information about something or someone, will it help? What's the use? Will I help the one who is spreading the rumors by receiving what he or she is telling me? You know, most people are cowards. They're too afraid to tell a person, stop. Let me get this brother or this sister and repeat the same words that you're saying to me now. You will never have trouble with people if you're bold enough to do that. You know, since you stand up in church and talking about how much you love the Lord or preaching or shouting or prophesying, if you're too scared to tell a slanderer to shut up. Well, bless God. Don't be a coward. So if you receive something, you're just like somebody that is with someone that's committing a crime. But if you are with a person that is stealing, you are just as guilty as the one that stole. There's always two sides to every controversy. Am I assisting and strengthening the character of the one whom I allow to gossip about others? Don't help a person destroy themselves by listening to mess. Hear this. Most people will end up in the same or similar situation of the person that they are spreading a rumor about. It's almost like God has set the law in motion, an unchangeable law. What you sow, you will reap. You can sow discord, but you will reap it. This happens at the workplace all the time and in churches by those who are jealous and envious. You can start a rumor about somebody because you're threatened by them and try to destroy or diminish their light and their character. God will always fix it where that thing will come full circle and the gossiper end up trapped in his own device. You know, if you dig a ditch for somebody else, you can dig it just as nice, have the measurements all together, but you're digging it for yourselves. Here's a woman that just gossiped about another woman being divorced. Oh, she just tore this sister down. This person would spread the rumors and just dog out this woman of God. But some years later, this woman ended up in the same situation of the person that she slandered and tried to destroy. When you judge yourself. We're not talking about general conversations. We're not talking about spiritual correction. We're talking about people that have a motive. I'm going to destroy this person because of this and that. It's like a woman that fell in love with a man. And then when the man didn't marry her, she started rumors about him. Let me get on the phone. Let me talk about this man. Let me dog this man. But she never told anyone that she was between the sheets too. Most people that slander and spread rumors about a certain individual have been directly involved. But then so many people are too afraid to tell their associate or friend to shut their mouths. Some people are so weak, you just have to have friends. Just sit up over people's house and just sit down just looking at them, you know, in the name of friendship. We kick it. No, you're kicking each other. Break the cycle of gossip and you will break the cycle of witchcraft in your life. Some people are going to go through the same thing every year. It doesn't matter if you move geographically. And there are some people who wonder, what is my hindrance? What is my problem? Well, if you're a slanderer, if you're a gossiper, the only way you can come out from under that is repent, go to those people and make it right. You don't take an ignorant person not to want to be right about what they say. Just talking and running their lips and spreading rumors without even having a sense of pride to want to be right. You should want the correct information before you talk about it or repeat it. Human nature, I mean, you ought to have some type of pride. You ever been in the church and a person get up and quote a verse in the Bible and tell you where it is? It's not there. You ever hear a person preach and they talk about Moses, but they're using Samson in the place of Moses? You ought to want to be right when you open your mouth. There's a lot of people that have been hardened, hurt through gossip. Ask yourself, if I allow a person to gossip about another person, can I in good conscience say that you are that person's friend? If a person is bringing you hearsay or gossip, can you really say that you're a true friend? Come on, wolf talking to another wolf? Come on, a serpent talking to another serpent? Fork-tongued snake crawling on your belly? If you spend your time slandering, it's worse than drugs. Well, that's my friend. That's how she is. Something wrong with your brain. If you're calling yourself a friend to a person that is a slanderer and you never correct, don't say, I just love her. You're a liar. You know, I hear people say this, I just love her to death. Why would you want to love somebody to death? Love them to life. So when you hear something and there's something that is bad about another person, you ought to feel obligated to go to that person and let that person know that they are wrong. Or you will be judged as though you are that person that is spreading lies and rumors.
You know, I believe this. Unless the Holy Ghost reveals the truth, there is no truth. Yeah, I believe that. You can gossip about something that is true, that happened, but your motive is to tear down a brother or sister. You are the devil's child. How can you tell me I'm the devil's child? I'm a child of God. That if you are a peacemaker. If you're not a peacemaker, you are not a child of God. I don't care who tell you or who prophesy you into being a child of God. If you're a troublemaker, then your daddy is the devil. Did I say it? Yes, I did. If you're a peacemaker, then your daddy is our heavenly father. It is that simple as 1, 2, 3 and ABC. If you're causing all kind of hell and you running folk down and you being unfair and you getting around people that agree with your gossip, you see, gossipers hang around gossipers. You can't get a person who loves the gossip around a mature Christian, because a mature believer is going to bring correction in the face of the person that's spreading rumors. Some of y'all got some friends, they like being around you, you know, because they know you're a trash can Christian. That's why I don't pay attention to people that's acting all excited at the revelations and the teachings. I watch the people that are believing and receiving and manifesting fruit. Because you got some excited demons. How many people have left active service to Christ because of unfounded charges and allegations made and received by others? Read Proverbs 18 and 19. You know, the Word of God says, and I believe the 21st verse of Proverbs 18, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, love what? Death or life will eat the fruit thereof. In my conclusion, the gossiper or backbiter does much evil. Let us seek not to be guilty ourselves. Let us not sanction those who do it. When you hear someone and you receive someone that runs their mouth like running water, you are stamping it with your approval. You are saying that this is the right way to go. Some people got a habit of running their mouths. Go to church, shout, dance, run down the aisles, give offerings and pay their tithes, sing in the choir or prophesy in a minute. But they love to dog other believers. If you don't correct a person like that and they're within your reach, you are guilty of the same crime. I don't want to lose them as a friend. I can't tell you my source. I thought your source was Jesus. I got to protect my source. You're protecting your source because you want information. You're greedy for information like a person greedy for food. You love gossip like people love candy. You love to hear it. If you didn't love to hear it, you'll stop it. You tell that person, shut up. Why are you running down this other person? All you got to do is rebuke them one time. The Word of God declares that open rebuke is better than secret love. Are you scared to rebuke somebody? If you are, that means you love to slander and gossip. All you got to do is understand this. If you are a true believer, then you will not allow people to slander the brethren, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We have it every day on the news. We have people who are prejudiced and racist, and they make a living out of keeping up division among the races. They live it every day. They love it. They are in love with lying and slander. Oh, yes, God's raising up people that you can't play those little political games with, because they're coming with signs and wonders and miracles. I remember I was in a meeting one time, and there was a woman who was spreading a gossip about me. And God had me bring her up before the people, and I began to reveal things about her that nobody knew. And she began to cry and repent and said, man of God, I'm sorry. I've been lying on you. I've been gossiping on you. But God showed me this is how you catch this fish. You let her know that you're my servant. And she gave her heart to God. And today we are good friends. Look at the power of God. All glory goes to God. I'm not that smart. But see, God gave me wisdom how to deal with a slanderer. He gave me the wisdom, and I'm trying to give you the wisdom. Shut your mouth. When somebody come to you, don't you add to it. They're already spreading rumors, and why do they feel free to come to you? Jesus said, disciples, who do men say that I am? Tell me about what people are saying about me. Different disciples said this and that, and look, Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, upon this truth, I'll build my church. The church is not built upon lies and slanders and gossip. The church can only be built on truth. You can have a building in a dead church. It won't produce anything but spiritual death. is unhealthy. God is not impressed with anything but the truth. People that slander wants the greatness of another person to be diminished. They want to build themselves up by tearing someone else down. Don't help a person do that. How did you feel when people were lying on you? Come on now. When people were lying on you, how did you feel? Did you feel good? Did you love it? Did you feel sad? We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in due time. We cast all of our cares on Him. He cares for us. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 5:6-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, Satan is the adversary. So if a person is spending their time day after day lying on people, they are the adversary. You got this gossiping person who just gossip and dog folk, and people just love their company. Oh, I like them. They make me laugh. Well, you better be careful what you're laughing about. I could disagree with you without hating you. See, some folks don't know how to disagree with people. Something is wrong with you. I can hate your ways and not hate you as a person. Know how to deal with a person. Know how to win souls. He that is wise wins souls. You can't win souls if you're fooling. So stay away from gossip. Stay away from gainsaying. Because the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And this is our authority. Bringing every thought. You can't pull down a stronghold until you get the stronghold pulled down over your life. This lion is a toothless lion. All he's got is a roar. God has already taken his teeth away. Don't let him out. I love you, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Be blessed.
Somebody give you a sugar pill and say it'll take away your headache. Don't you know man is so silly?
Yes.
Number one, the spirit of fear causes man to create his or her own laws to protect their self-interest. You see, when you operate by fear, listen closely, we kill God's influence in us. We don't kill God, but we kill God's influence in us. In other words, Satan that comes to steal and kill is successful. If you don't believe Satan comes to steal your faith, kill your faith, you are out of your mind. The real anointing brings opposition.
Yes.
First, by those that are close around, count up the cost.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm talking from experienced people.
That's right.
You lost your mind. I'm trying to help you.
Hallelujah.
Listen, folk will change on you. And if you don't know that, you'll be walking by faith and everybody be shouting that you're saved. Ooh, the glory of God is on this person and that person. You go ahead and get serious about God. Those same folk that were speaking in tongue and happy for you, they'll look at you funny.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. Get really deep in God and get serious about God and start saying, oh, no, that's not right. That's not right. Oh, yeah, them same folk that was rooting and tooting going to turn on you. And you know what some people believe? That what I'm saying is negative because they're used to these old jellyback prophets.
Come on.
Yes.
Tell me something good.
Love, hope, radio.
Those kind of prophets. Tell me that you like it. Yeah. I want that kind of prophet. I don't want to hear nobody telling me something that I really need. I need somebody that's going to sugarcoat my mess.
Love, hope, radio.
Listen, this is an old school groove, a little song we put together for you and yours, a simple song that reminds you, never ever forget where you come from. Ah!
No matter what you're going through. with you always.
Never
forsake you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are several things that will make any blood-bought, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled Christian cuss. Mm-hmm. And here they are. One of those things, and y'all give witness to this, is waking up in the middle of the night and hitting your baby toe on the edge of your bed. Can I get a witness? It will make any Christian cuss.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Here's another thing. If you're chewing bubble gum and bite your tongue,
that's it.
Mm-hmm, the tongue is an unruly member. It'll make any Christian cuss. Can I get a witness here?
Well, yes, it will.
found in the second book of Roger, chapter 7, verse 8. Another thing that would make any Christian cuss is biting your bottom lip. Talk to me real hard, but that sharp tooth, you know you were supposed to go to the dentist and get worked on. It will make you cuss. Here's another thing. If you're cooking in your kitchen with some grease and stick your hand trying to turn over a soft taco shell, and you forgot for a split moment that that grease is hot, it'll make you say, shh, hallelujah. Another thing that will make any Christian cuss is if you're walking and you're looking pretty, ladies, I've seen this in church, and you know you're wearing that 6-inch heel, and your leg kind of go to the right, bring your holy ankle, that'll make you curse. Ladies, have you ever been walking in that shoe that has your heel out, and all of a sudden your foot come outside? Praise the Lord of your shoe. That could make you curse. Another thing that'll make you curse, if you're in the shopping mall and you see this gorgeous outfit through the window, and then before you get there, some other hand just rips around and got that outfit, and you went up and you asked, are there any more outfits like the one I saw? Window shopping. Manager goes into the back of the store looking for your favorite dress. You saw that little heifer. Get that dress. And the manager comes out and said, no, that'll make you cuss. And for some of y'all, you ain't never cussed since you accepted Jesus. You're lying. Praise the Lord. This is a message to every Christian.
You are right. I'm talking about it.
Feel that.
It happened to me the other day.
It did.
Blog Talk Radio.
The dog mentality versus the wolf mentality. You know, the dog and the wolf are the same, with one exception. The dog is a domesticated carnivore, while the wolf is a wild dog. A wolf is a dog that have not been tamed or domesticated. We are untamed like the wolf. When we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will find ourselves animalistic. Interesting enough, I would like to share with you the story of a man named Caleb. In order for me to convey to you the mentality of a dog and a wolf, I couldn't help but talk about this unique man called Caleb and give history of this man and his kin and nature. Caleb, which means dog or bold, also it means a famous bearer. The carnal mind is a meat-eating animal. The carnal mind doesn't care about anything else but what it cares about. Do we want a dog mentality? When you walk with God, you'll find yourself as loyal as a dog. The mentality of a dog versus a wolf.
What would I do if the Lord took his arms from around me? I succumb to the grips of the unknown. But I know I'm not supposed to feel this way. I know that I'm supposed to trust you every day. But it gets so hard to keep it all moving. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing my grip on God.
I gotta live like my faith ain't strong enough.
I'm
bothering me. It's written in your word. You got my need.
Made you my God.
Hallelujah.
Oh my
God. Woo!
That's good. That's good. That's a mouthful right there.
That's mouthful.
Wow.
You know why people who I'm gonna show you something. You can always tell the sin of a person because it's their gossip.
Yeah, come on now. You
come on. I like that.
Wow.
I like it.
You don't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need a revelation. You don't even need to be deep. If a person always talking about get caught up in adultery, they're in it.
That's
come
right.
On, come
right.
On.
You, that's it.
Come on. I told somebody one time, if you want to get a guilty verdict, go to the church. Take them to court. They know how to say, guilty!
Hallelujah!
You look like you didn't. You look like, how you going to look like a liar? The only man you can look like is a proud person.
That's it.
Because God said, I hate a proud look.
Word.
You look proud.
That's the word.
But I ain't never seen a lion stand up and take a bow.
Come on.
You just,
I like this.
I'm going to be myself.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Pastor Bates, you know what? It is.
Oh, God.
I pastored 7 churches.
Oh, God.
And one of the things that I am still learning, when Moses didn't learn. And I tell everybody that's in leadership, your greatest deliverance will not be from sin.
Come on.
It'll be from people.
Come on,
who can them? You know, Ray Ray.
Yes,
Lord.
Come on.
Sister Macaroni.
Come on.
You know, Mama.
Mama in here.
I'm trying to tell you a story. Are you listening? Your greatest deliverance is not from sin. People just running around trying to get delivered from sin. Thank you.